But we're truly grateful to be here today. And I always feel whenever that I walk in to the church and whenever that I'm with everyone that I'm with family. And I truly mean that with all of my heart. I've been in other churches, been in revivals, been in just different occasions where that we've been called upon to speak. And I don't think that really I've ever had quite the feeling of closeness and of family like I have here. And I mean that. And I know that it's God that does that. And I know that it's because of the shed blood of His Son that we are all related. We're kindred. And not that we go all the way back to Adam and Eve, but we go back to the cross. And that's where that our destiny was sealed. And that's where that the blood was shed for all of us to redeem us from sin. And that's where that we have a kinship. And I pray today that God blesses you in every way possible. I really mean that. I wish I had the capability and the power to do for you like I feel in my heart I would like to do. But I know that's up to the Father. And so I pray for you every day that God just lays that out and lays it before me today. If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And this, of course, was written by John the Beloved. He's referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love the others, but there was something special about John. He was always with Jesus, with Peter and James. And we find that he wrote this epistle and even the gospel in a different way than the others did. He delved into the very heart of God. He began to unfold what God is and what Christ is to us today. And we want to start with the seventh verse of the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John. Do you have your Bible? We encourage you to read along with us in this passage of Scripture. He starts out and he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth," and listen to this carefully, "everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." If correctly read, this is just a few passages of Scripture, about five of them. And we pray God's blessing just upon the reading of His Word today. Our text will come from the very beginning of what we read, where that He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In salvation, which is the greatest gift that God could give unto us today, there's a change that takes place. There's a transaction that is made between our heart and with Almighty God. The writer Jeremiah talks about, Ezekiel talks in one place about how that He changes our heart from stone. In other words, how that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. And he makes it a heart of flesh. That is, he softens. He makes our heart pliable. And he writes his laws. He writes and inscribes what he desires, what he longs for from us, how that he loves us. And it's a heart of flesh. It means that we can feel his presence and that we can know his will. There's another thing that happens whenever that God saves our soul. And that is today that he changes our outlook and he changes the way that we look at things today. He gives us, the Bible says in one place, it says, he old things pass away and behold, all things become new. The things Paul said that I once hated, now I love. And the things that I once loved, now I hate. There's a reversal of that today. And whenever that God saves us, he gives us a love towards him. I love him today because he first loved me. All the way in past eternity, he knew that I would have need of salvation. I'd be born in trespasses and in sins, and that you would also, that have been saved, you would be born in trespasses and in sins and would need a Savior. And so today we love him because he first loved us. We have a new vision that God gives us in this love that we never had before. When God saved my soul, when I went back to school the next day, it wasn't like it had been before. I was walking in a new realm. Now, I don't want to get mystic or anything like that, but I saw things differently. I saw my friends differently. I saw the things that I did a lot different than what I had before. And that's a change that God gives unto us today. We have a new vision of the world and everything that's in it, of one another. We have a new vision today of even a lost and dying world. I don't know about anybody else, but there are times in driving whenever that I see people coming towards me, and I think to myself, Lord, are they saved? Are they prepared? And you know, in that brief moment of time, I just pray, God, save them. God, prepare them. God, get a hold of their heart. And so we find that the Bible tells us that we look even beyond the sins. I realize today we live in a very sinful world, a dark world, a world that is so dark that they cannot even tell, as we preached last week, between light and between darkness. They're in darkness. They can't see, just like an individual that's sight impaired. And you know, sometimes that gives us an idea of what their actions are like, why they do some of the things that they do, why that they're prone towards evil. But you look beyond that today, and you begin to look in their eyes. You look away from the appearance, the behavior, and you look into the eyes. And I've heard one writer say that the eyes are the windows into the soul of an individual. You look in their eyes, and you think to yourself, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You're going to stand before God and give an account. If you never get saved, if you never experience that new birth, you're going to stand before Almighty God. And then my attitude towards them begins to change. And that love that God placed within my heart begins to kind of filter out. Now, it doesn't do it all the time, and it doesn't do it most of the time. But there are times when God gets my attention and begins to move upon me about other people and about the world in general. The Bible tells us over one place, he said, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You have the love of Christ within your heart, within your soul. He put it there. And my friend, you're changed, you're redeemed, and he puts within us the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ today? What is the heart of Christ today? The Bible tells us in one place that David was a man after God's own heart, and we as his people, we're people after Christ's heart. What was the mind of Jesus Christ today? There's a verse of scripture that I'm reminded of in the book of Acts, and it says something to this extent, that when Jesus was on this earth, he went about doing good. He sought out how that he might be a blessing to those, how that he might demonstrate the Father's love towards mankind. And if there ever was a need in all the history of mankind, a need for people to know that God loves them, or that somebody cares, or that somebody is concerned about him, it's in this day and age in which that we live. They go darker and darker and further, almost into an abyss where that they can't tell the difference between good and between evil, and between what is true love and what is the love that the world puts before them. Now, whenever you tell the world and you talk about love, they've got one idea about it. It's not necessarily the love of God, because you see, the love of God is like this. It's unconditional. It's a love that's above all other loves. I thought I was loved by my parents. I thought that I was loved by my friends. And I thought that I was loved by my wife. Sorry, Shirley, but I appreciate her love. But I want to tell you, God's love is above it all. My friend, his love, my friend, transcends it all. His love is unconditional. He does not put restraints upon us today except to come unto him and repent and be saved. But his love towards all mankind, he sees the things that you see. He sees the evil that people are in today. He sees how that man has a vileness within his heart. You know, people are to the extent, and I don't need to remind you of this today, but people are to the extent that they would just as soon run over you as to let you walk across a crosswalk. Or if you happen to cut them off in traffic, or if you look at them wrong, or if you get your shopping cart in front of them, that they would just as soon do something to you because you have violated them in their own eyes. And what I fear today is that many will never, ever experience the peace, the joy, the love of God. His love is above all other loves. There's no one that can love like God loves today. And the Bible tells us, and you know this verse of scripture, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what are the loves that are in the world today? We talk about love. Hollywood has a different view than what love is today. The Bible tells us and teaches us there's that love called philia. And I'll throw some Greek terms out. You don't have to remember them. And I'm not showing what I know about Greek. I know very little. You could put it in a thimble. But there is that love called philo or phileo, and it's a brotherly love. Now, I was raised an only child, and someone I told that to said, boy, you were lucky. But there's a brotherly love. Now, brothers and sisters will fight. I witnessed that. Boy, I just kind of sat on the sidelines and just kind of watched it, praying that I wouldn't be pulled into the middle. But today there's a love between brothers and sisters, and no matter how that they act towards you, no matter how that they may treat you, or the goodness that they may treat you with, there is deep down inside of them a love and a caring that only siblings can experience, and even close friends. The Bible tells us about the love that Jonathan and David had for each other. David, whenever that he mourned Jonathan's death, he said, "Jonathan, my brother," and he goes on and talks about how he lamented over him. They were close. They were like brothers. And he said, "Your love surpasses the love of women." And you know, I've heard people say, well, that just goes to show that they had this, and I have to say it, this homosexual type of love between them. No, it surpasses that type of love, the love of women. They don't read it exactly the way that it was intended. He loved Jonathan, and Jonathan loved him, and Jonathan knew that David would be king one day. He would surpass Jonathan. And Jonathan pledged his allegiance, his support unto David. Why? Because he loved him, and David loved him also. I've had friends like that, and when I found out that something happened to him, I couldn't weep anymore if they were my natural brother, born of the same family. I got news one time. I was working between school in a lumber yard, and I had the boss come down to where that I was at, and he said, "Do you know a man?" And he gave the man's name, or the kid's name. He said, "Do you know him?" And I said, "Yeah, we kind of grew up together. You know, we were real, real close." And he said, "His mother has asked me to ask you to be a pallbearer in his funeral. He had taken his life." And I could not, I don't even remember the rest of that day. But oh, it hurt way down deep inside, because we ran around together. We did things together. You know, sometimes we got out of sorts with one another, but that was very short-lived. That's the type of love that Jonathan and David had. Jesus had that kind of relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were his friends. There was no, and I'm gonna confirm this today, there was no romantic ideal in Jesus' heart towards the women that were associated with him. I want to go down on record of that. But he loved them like a sister. He loved them like they were part of his congregation. And we find the shortest verse of scripture that's found in the Bible. Whenever that Lazarus died, Jesus stood outside of his tomb and he began to weep. He began to cry. And he felt it in the fleshly part of him. He felt it down deep within. He was moved. He was sorrowful. He was sad. And beyond being able to shed tears, he felt that way towards Lazarus. And I know the rest of the story is that he raised Lazarus from the dead. But you know, he knew that Lazarus would eventually die again and go back to the grave. There's that kind of love that the world likes to talk about today. It's called Eros. And it's the Hollywood love. That's about the best way to explain it. And I'm not here to down people, criticize people, because they are in as much in darkness as the rest of the world today. But they've got an idea about love that's at many times very, very different than what the Bible teaches us today. Do you know what that is today? It's the love between, a romantic love between male and between female. Yes, I said male and female. That's the way God ordained it. And he said in Genesis and in Matthew, it is good. It's the love between husband and wife. It's that type of romantic type love. That's where that it's supposed to be, within the confines of marriage between man and between woman. There's a type of love that's called storge, and that's the love of grandchild, the grandparent. And you that have grandchildren, you know what that love is, don't you? And you that may not have children, you know how that you feel towards nieces. I never had any brothers, but you know, after that I married my wife, those nieces and nephews and cousins of hers became mine. They became mine, and I couldn't love them any more than I do if they were even my own grandchildren and nieces and nephews. It's a love towards them. It's a kinship towards them. You know, just the way that we love. But there's a love that's above all of this, and that's the love of God. It's called agape. It's a supreme love. It has no strings attached to it. It has no conditions. I'll love you if you do this for me. That's the also a type of love in this world today. I'll do this if you'll do this for me. I'll love you if you jump over that fence. I'll love you if you'll jump down a ravine. I'll love you if you'll speed up to 80 miles an hour and let's cut this car off. But that's not the type of love that God has and that Christ Jesus has. And you know, today, that is the desire. Whenever the apostle wrote in Philippians, said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but he humbled himself. And here's the important part of it. He humbled himself and became obedient, and he became a servant. He came in the form of a servant, and he proved it today in the book of John whenever that he washed his disciples' feet. And you know what he said when he did that? He said, you ought to wash your brother's feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to have that servant mind. And you know, whenever that we have that servant mind, we see to the good of others. We see to the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see to the good of their well-being and also to humanity. We serve humanity. I'm always in awe of people, and I guess maybe this people in the medical profession, and I heard of it recently, had children, wife, wonderful practice, but he gave it up and he laid it aside to go over to Africa and to be a physician under those people that don't have anything in the way of being treated for their diseases. He gave that up. I admire people like that. I admire whenever that they give it all up and they begin to serve humanity. Now, I'm not asking you today to give up your jobs or to give up your professions or whatever the case might be, but we can serve one another out there in the world. We can show the love of God towards them by how that we treat them. Do you know the simple act of opening a door? You'll get the most surprised looks. And I don't do it today because I want to hear thank you. I do it because they may be carrying groceries. They may be carrying a child. They may not be able to get through the door without some sort of physical assistance. I open it because God said to be a servant unto mankind. I do that because at times there's a love in my heart that just wells up. And I'm not perfect. I'm not good by any means. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But God has put that love down in my heart. And from time to time, it just kind of leaks out. kind of comes out whenever that I see someone who's struggling or I see someone who is having trouble and having a lot of difficulty. Now, this love today that we say is of God, that gives us a servant's heart, also moves upon us to empathize. To empathize with someone is to love them to the extent that you feel what they're feeling. I see somebody who's crippled. I see somebody who's infirm. I see somebody on life support, and my heart goes out to the family. There's a feeling for them. Oh, God, please be with them. Please help them. Please support them in all of their problems that they're having. You know, one of the best places to minister unto people like that is in a hospital waiting room. Boy, you'll see all kinds. You'll see some that will be rejoicing over a successful operation. Then you'll see some that receive the news that this is all that we could do. We are not able to do anymore. And you see their faces drop. And I want you to know it gets to you. It gets to me. And if I could make it better for them, I would. I would do it in a moment. That's just the empathy. You empathize. It goes beyond sympathy, but it's where that you are feeling with them and you join with them in their sorrow. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He empathized. He sympathized with the people that he went to see and that he ministered to. Oh, I can see him whenever he walks through the streets of Jerusalem. And I want to tell you something, what a little of that was like. It wasn't like they show on TV, and I'm not downing that, and I'm not criticizing it. But it was probably like this. The smell would probably be overwhelming. The smell of humanity. There would be beggars over on the side of the road that could not walk, that could not do for themselves. And all that they had for their life is just to cover up their head and hold their hand out, hoping someone would show mercy to them or give them even something of food for their sustenance. You would see people by the pool of Siloam that would be laying there waiting for the stirring of the waters. You would see their limbs as it were, they were gnarled and as they were infirm and they could not walk. And some would not make it to the water whenever that it stirred. But oh, whenever that Jesus came. Whenever that Jesus came. My friend, I want to tell you something. There was mercy that was shown there. And you know, sometimes we preach a God of justice and wrath, and he is towards sin and rebellion. But there is that about God that he wants to show mercy and grace and love unto humanity. Then you see some that their whole lot in life was just despair, and they had nothing to live for. But that's why Jesus came into this world. And that's why that he came to give his life upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have a hope, that we might have life, and to have it more abundantly. That love that Jesus had towards mankind from time to time wells up within. And I encourage you today to cultivate that. To let that be your lot. And to be how that you feel towards mankind. No, we can't solve some of the problems. But we have prayer. We are able to go to the throne of grace. And we're able to ask God on their behalf. What can we do? Or what will you do for them? That empathy leads towards compassion. Compassion. Love, empathy, and compassion. Compassion is related unto those. In fact, you could draw a triangle, having each one of those at each end of the triangle. And the last one is compassion. Jesus had compassion upon people. We find the Bible tells us over in one place where that he was leaving Jericho with his disciples. And there were two blind men that they could hear the footsteps. But they could not tell who it was, except maybe somebody said, Jesus is coming this way. Oh, church, today, let people know that Jesus can come their way. And Jesus can do for their soul what no man can do for them. But they knew that he was coming, and they cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." And he stopped. And Jesus will take time for you. Did you know that today? I love that song that says, "Central's never busy, always on the line." You can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. My friend, you're not going to get a busy signal. You're not going to get an answer where the Jesus says, I'll get back with you a little bit later. You won't get an answering machine, but you'll get a hold of him. When you come in the name of Christ and through his blood and through him today, he hears. He answers prayer. But these men just cried out to him until finally Jesus came over to where that they were at. And it says he had compassion upon them. Once again, the Son of Man felt what they felt. The Son of Man saw what they were, the condition that they were in. The Son of Man realized they didn't have any future or hope whatsoever. But he had compassion upon them. And compassion moves towards doing something for that individual that is possible for you to do. He healed them. He touched their eyes. And we find over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, words to this extent. We have not, and I may have to turn this around, and I'm not doing injustice to the Word of God. Let me phrase it like this. We have an high priest, Christ Jesus, who knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it is to feel achy. How? How does he know that? He was perfect. Yes, he was perfect. But he has taken upon himself all of the diseases, all of the sin. He was taking upon all of it. And it says he experienced all of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like us what we are, but yet it was without sin. Whenever that we're tempted and are tried, we can take it to Jesus no matter what it is. And he understands and he has empathy and he will have compassion and he will do for you what no man can do for you. Not even the preacher, not even a priest. He can do it all. Amen. Yet without sin. My friend, he also said in one place, "Freely have you received of me. Now freely give." And we've received the love of Christ. We've received redemption from him. We've received mercy and grace. Let us show it to the world, because we're the only hope of reflecting, as we said last week, the light of Christ. Look for ways to serve him. Look for ways to be out on the highways and hedges of this world, to offer unto the world love. Love. You know, there's a song, my close. There's a song that, gosh, was way back. This kind of dates me. But it was a song written by, I believe, Burt Bacharach. And it said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." He didn't talk about the lustful kind of love. He didn't talk about any other conditional love. He just said sweet love. And goes on to say that's the only thing that there's just too little of. And I believe there are people that are looking for the unconditional love of God, that are looking for an example of it, looking for somebody to show them the love of God. May God bless each and every one of you is my desire and my prayer today. I'm thankful for each and every one. I'm thankful that God has bestowed his love upon you. He saved your souls. He redeemed you. He has walked with you all of this way. And let me tell you this, and you go away with this. He said in one place, and it wasn't just to his disciples, but he said in one place, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that today? He's been with you down to this present moment of time. And no matter how dark the things may look, no matter how things may appear, he's still there. Just like as we leave this place and we look up and, oh boy, it's cloudy. I bet it's going to snow. Oh no, it's going to snow. Let me tell you something. That sun is still up there. No matter how dark that it gets, no matter how much of a blizzard, and I'm not wishing a blizzard on us, but no matter what today, my friend, that sun is still up there. It'll be there till the end of time. Do you know today the Son of God is still there? No matter how dark the things look to us, no matter how that we might feel, no matter how despondent, depressed, cast down, anxious that we might get, Christ is still there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.